The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Yes, it is. Welcome to The Big Show. Come to you from a remote Carter Subaru studio. Glad you can be with us. It's the start of a new week, the dawn of a new era. I cannot believe that Jenny Durkin soundbite I just heard in our newscast right there. There were rumors that the military is taking over Seattle. What rumors? Where were these? I'm online almost every second of my life looking at a variety of news sources. What whack site rumors were you looking at, Jenny Durkin, to suggest that you had to tamp down the fears that the military is taking over Seattle because they're doing what the great and noble men and women who serve do, and that they run in when everybody else is running away. They came in to Ground Zero to help. And frankly, if Jenny Durkin did read that rumor on whatever nut job sites she visits, she shouldn't have given it any credence. It was a way to take a shot at our military that came into Seattle to help set up a COVID-19 hospital at CenturyLink Field in the event center there. There were rumors the military's taking over Seattle. I'm here to assure you they're not. Now, it was her way to just take yet another shot to appease all of her military-hating fans that make up a part of her base. And then people wonder why there's a perception that maybe our region hasn't been very grateful for this massive mobilization of aid and help that the federal government has put together for us. Because you see, over the weekend, this boiled over. We've got us a good old-fashioned feud between Governor Jay Inslee and President Donald Trump. And that is my top story.
The Big Lead, top story.
Now, as you know, Jay Inslee, he's a very bitter man these days because he's so desperately wanted to be president. And he pretended like he cared about climate change, which he does not. We have conclusively proven that. But he thought that was an issue that was going to make him president. And he hates Donald Trump. He has made that clear from before Trump was elected. And so when Jay Inslee got 0% in all among Democrats, in every primary poll when he was running for president, and then he sees that Trump's approval's at an all-time high with how the president and the federal government, but more than anything, how the American people are handling this COVID-19 crisis. And so here's what's apparently going on. 50 states in the union. And the president is getting along with almost every governor, even governors that he has feuded with in the past. Gavin Newsom of California, Gavin Newsom and Andrew Cuomo, New York. Both Newsom and Cuomo have said very nice things about the president and the job the feds are doing, the job our military is doing, FEMA, everybody who's been mobilized. And the president has said very nice things against Gavin Newsom and, or about Gavin Newsom and Andrew Cuomo. Everyone's kind of pulling together. There's just one guy who can't seem to get along right now. And that's our Jay Inslee. So let me kind of take you through the chronology of the weekend when all of this boiled over. So when Trump a couple of days ago had his coronavirus task force briefing, he said this.
We've had great success over the last month. We've, as you know, the millions and millions of pieces of equipment have been delivered successfully by us, purchased and delivered, and we've made it available to the states. And the governors have been very gracious for the most part, I would say. A couple that aren't appreciative of the incredible job. They have to do a better job themselves. That's part of the problem. But
he's talking about Jay Inslee, and he's talking about the governor of Michigan. He says there are a couple governors who have not been appreciative of what all of the federal employees and military have done, and that they need to do a better job themselves. And so then they asked him specifically, you are talking about Jay Inslee, right?
Well, I think we've done a great job for the state of Washington, and I think the governor is a failed presidential candidate, as you know. He leveled out at zero in the polls. He's constantly chirping, and I guess complaining would be a nice way of saying it. We're building hospitals. We've done a great job for the state of Washington.
And I think that the feds have done a fine job by and for us. And we're starting to see maybe that flattening of the curve a little bit. Starting to see some encouraging numbers this afternoon in the COVID cases. But he says that Inslee, and again, he's getting along great with hard left Democrats like Gavin Newsom and Andrew Cuomo. But he says that Inslee just is the one guy who he can't get along with.
What more specifically do you want the governor of Washington?
All I want them to do, very simple. I want them to be appreciative. I don't want them to say things that aren't true. I want them to be appreciative. We've done a great job. And I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about Mike Pence, the task force. I'm talking about FEMA, the Army Corps of Engineers. There's no country in the world could have done what the Army Corps of Engineers has done and is doing. Now they're going in and building literal. They're going into hotels and renovating hotels. That should be for governors to do. That should be for states to do. We have the Army Corps of Engineers so teed up and so stocked up, and they're really psyched, and they're incredible. And there's no games with these people. They're in there screaming, get it done, get it done. There's not like sitting around taking it easy. These are workers. These are incredible people.
Yeah, our military is doing a beautiful job on behalf of us. And we should be very appreciative. And as I said, that Jenny Durkin soundbite that we played right at the newscast coming into my show, rumors about a military takeover of Seattle. Jenny Durkin decided to, by repeating that, give credence to some insanity that's out there. But it's because there is, and what that does, that Jenny Durkin soundbite, what that does is it just gives a glimpse into the soul of people like her and Jay Inslee. They are fundamentally anti-military, because their constituents demand that they be, because there is a very hard anti-military bias among the far left. That's no surprise. That's why we have, you know, Seattle school teachers who compare military recruiters in our high schools to child molesters. I mean, it's a really sick, perverse hatred of our military, which ironically gives all of these knuckleheads the freedom to spew all of their nonsense. So, and then a little more from the president about Inslee, and then I'll give you Inslee's response.
I think things, even the media, I think the media and governors should appreciate it. And I have to say, the media's been pretty good, and the governors have been really good, except for a couple. And with them, it's just political. How's Trump doing? Oh, well, I don't know. You know, let's blame. Because we have done a job the likes of which nobody's seen.
So it's the words they're saying they're concerned about.
I think they should be appreciative. Because you know what? When they're not appreciative to me, they're not appreciative to the Army Corps, they're not appreciative to FEMA. It's not right. These people are incredible. They're working 24 hours a day. Mike Pence, I don't think he sleeps anymore. These are people that should be appreciated. He calls all the governors. I tell him, I mean, I'm a different type of person. I say, Mike, don't call the governor of Washington. You're wasting your time with him. Don't call the woman in Michigan. Well, it doesn't make any difference what happens.
The governor of Washington?
No, you know what I say? If they don't treat you right, I don't call. He's a different type of person. He'll call quietly anyway, okay? But he's done a great job. He should be appreciated for the job he's done.
He says that Pence has defied him telling him to not call Inslee. And I am certain he didn't tell Pence to not call Inslee. But I think that Trump is someone who, if he was in charge of the COVID-19 response instead of Pence, I bet Trump's right. I bet he wouldn't call Inslee. I mean, Inslee have sued him. Inslee and Bobby Fergie have sued Trump 50 times. And why? Because they say, well, the federal government shouldn't have this kind of control over our state. We're going to sue them. And now it's, well, the federal government should have way more control. They're stinking hypocrites. Inslee and Bob Ferguson and the rest. Every time Trump tried to do anything at the federal level, whether it be for national security or, you know, 49 other reasons, they would go screaming and filing lawsuits saying, too much power for the feds. And now all Jay Inslee can do is complain that the feds haven't done enough. And the truth of the matter on that, and this is very, very important. First of all, Jay Inslee, what have you done in the last 7.5 years as governor to prepare our state for some kind of an outbreak, a pandemic? What have you done, Jay Inslee? And the reason I bring this up is because we just had surface a 2015 report by the New York State Department of Health. And what they said in that report, this is 5 years ago, New York State, and they said, if a pandemic were to hit our state, we don't have enough ventilators. So at the state level, that's something that was known, something that they should have prepared for. So Jay Inslee, did your Washington State Department of Health 5 years ago under your lead, did they prepare a report on how our state would do in a pandemic like New York State did? If not, why not? You've been governor. You have the power to do that sort of thing. Did you know how many respirators we would need as a state if a pandemic hit? Because other states made that evaluation long before anybody had heard of COVID-19. And so what it sounds like to me is that Jay Inslee is trying to cover up for his own failings in doing nothing to anticipate a sort of public health crisis like we're now facing in his 7.5 years. And now for the first time in his life, he wants Donald Trump and the federal government to be his savior when he has spent his entire time as governor. I mean, even before Trump was, I mean, going back to when Trump came down the escalator, telling us that Trump is the devil and the federal government has way too much power and we filed 50 lawsuits. And now all of a sudden, fast forward to today, and it's, he's not doing enough for us. Well, what have you done for us, Jay? You've been governor for 7.5 years, and other states studied the possibility and the effects and the needs of their state in a pandemic. Did your Department of Health do that? Show us that report if they did. Did you respond to it? Give us the documents that show how you responded. I mean, this is pathetic to listen to right now with the governor. And the governor did respond. He went on CNN this weekend, and he talked about how desperately we need supplies here.
But we simply don't have the materials to take the test itself. Some things as simple as the swabs. When the little vials, when you put the swab in it to send it to the lab, it needs a particular medium in it to preserve it. We just do not have those simple things, and that's why we have got to mobilize the entire manufacturing base of the United States like we did in World War II for things as simple as these testing kits.
Or just a thought. While the taxpayers were spending tens of millions of dollars on your private State Patrol security detail so you could go on your vanity run for the presidency. And you stuck the state's taxpayers with the costs of that. The Montana candidate, he's reimbursed the taxpayers for his security detail. Might those tens of millions of dollars been better spent to prepare our state for a health crisis? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not supposed to bring these things up. I'm supposed to be a cheerleader for Inslee and a hater on the president. I forgot. I'm in the media, for crying out loud.
Well, here's why we need a federal response to this. Let me give you an example. I was talking to Elon Musk the other day, who's helping us get some ventilators, which we really appreciate. There are some business people who are helping states. And he was pointing out that we don't really necessarily maybe have such a shortage of ventilators, but we have a maldistribution of ventilators where we have ventilators sitting in places where they're not being used and aren't going to states who are going to be hit the first, like New York, like Washington State, like California. And this is where we need a federal coordination to get the assets where they're really needed, A, and B, to mobilize our manufacturers to produce these sometimes very simple products for the entire national stockpile. We need both of those, and that's where the federal government can really help.
And then Jake Tapper asked Inslee if his relationship with the president is affecting you and me, the people of our state.
Do you think that your relationship with the president and his clear animosity towards you is impacting your ability to get what you need from the federal government to save lives of people in Washington state?
Well, I certainly hope not. We're going to expect the best from all our partners. We have partners. I mean, I met with the Army in my state yesterday building a hospital. We certainly have a great working relationship with the Army. We have good open lines of communication with FEMA. And as Gretchen Whitmer indicated, we're still talking to the vice president. After the president said that, she had a conversation with Mike Pence, and I assume that I will as well.
I'm curious, Jay, are you going to call Jenny Durkin and tell her to stop repeating rumors about a military takeover of Seattle? Some absolute whack jobs who were spreading those rumors, and Jenny Durkin decided to give them some credibility by denying that there's a military takeover. I don't know one sane person who believes there's a military takeover of Seattle in progress. And yet Jenny Durkin, to take a shot at our military, decided to repeat the most unhinged rumors that she heard over the weekend. Are you going to call her, since you have such a great relationship and such deep respect for our Army? And are you going to tell her that, stop giving credence to the insane who are out there? So there's the feud. Let's play the feud. Oh, I wish I was Richard Dawson. I'd give them both a peck on the lips right now. Which side are you on in this little feud between the Prez and the Gov? You can text us at 98973. That's 98973. And, oh, my goodness, we got so much. We're just getting started here. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, right after the news, we're going to talk about how the kind of following up on this, the incredible negligence by some public officials in how long they denied this crisis. And we'll tell you a shocking story from the Los Angeles Times, of all places, about a choir up in Skagit County that decided to have a rehearsal even when they knew this thing was coming. And you are not going to believe the numbers of that choir, one choir in Skagit County, and how many have been now impacted, affected, infected by this disease. But for now, that is your Big Lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
We shall check the news for you, and then we'll tell you about this incredible story, disturbing. It's a great example of why we've got to do the social quarantine. It's out of Skagit County, and it's news you got to hear. I'll tell you about it next on the Dory Monson Show. course, the human health toll is the most significant part of this COVID-19 outbreak. But shoulder to shoulder with it in how it's affecting most of the families, most of you who are listening to my show right now, is the economic impact. A lot of you have lost your jobs or are in danger of losing jobs. If you're a business owner, your business is in danger of failing if it hasn't already. And economically, a lot of people are very, very scared. And as we head into April, property taxes are due. And we have some of the highest property taxes in the country, especially with the massive add-on for schools a couple of years ago. And there are people who have property tax bills every 6 months that are, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 and much more in many cases. And I realized how significant an issue that is for people, because over the weekend, just independently, a bunch of listeners contacted me on a variety of platforms. And here's one of the brief ones from Kathy. Kathy said, I think we should question Dow Constantine. Is he going to delay the April property taxes? A lot of us are struggling. And of course, the president has announced that federal income taxes are going to be delayed for a couple of months. But I had not heard anything about property taxes, and I vowed to try to get an answer for everyone who reached out to me. And so I'm going right straight to the top. Your King County assessor is John Wilson, and he joins us live here on the Dory Monson Show. John, good to talk to you. I really appreciate your time.
Good afternoon, Dory.
So you heard the question. Just a lot of people are wondering, since there's already been announced a delay for federal property tax or federal income taxes, are we going to see any kind of corresponding delay with our property taxes in King County?
Yeah, we're, in fact, the executive announced today that there'll be a moratorium on any late payment fees or that. And if you pay your property taxes yourself, whether you're a homeowner or an individual business, you'll now be given until June 1 to make that initial six-month payment. You know, the problem we have compared to the federal government is you have to remember the federal government is constantly collecting income tax throughout the year every time you get paid. But, Dory, man, I hear you loud and clear. You know, you can't help but be around the region. I've gotten probably from some of the same listeners, that you heard from this weekend questions about, is there something we can do? And we're scrambling to try to figure out what more we can do. The sad thing is part of what we also found was state law doesn't even consider a pandemic a natural disaster. And certainly economically, in addition to the terrible health crisis it is, yes, economically, it is a disaster.
I agree. And so if there's late fees, those will be waived until June 1st. My fear, John, and I'm sure you're well aware of this too, is that we haven't even begun to see the economic impact. And so what happens if people, because they have lost their job, they've lost their business, what if they simply can't pay their property taxes? And even by that June 1st moratorium deadline, then what?
Well, that's something we're looking at hard and fast, Dory. I mean, I've got my team right now, although most of this falls within the treasurer's realm rather than the assessor's realm. But because we've heard from so many, I was talking to a group of people that run downtown hotels just a few days ago, and one of the hotels downtown that has normally 1,200 rooms, that night they had 8 guests. And then you've got literally scores and scores of small businesses. So we're trying to find, is there anything else we can do related to the property tax to offer some longer term assistance or somehow bridge that area? The challenge we've got is that a lot of taxing districts, and remember that the county collects taxes for 163 taxing districts. A lot of those taxing districts have bond payments that are due June 1. And they can't get any relief from the bondholders on that, so we're up against it. You know, we had tried to push, and the governor's delegated this out to the counties to take care of. But I was told by somebody in the governor's office, look, right now King County's the only one really pushing us hard to delay the property tax, And, you know, I realize it's hit our county particularly hard, but we've got to figure out if there are more things we can do.
Yeah, I mean, we can't have people losing their home. I mean, I think this is where, you know, I've talked about this last week, John. This is so different from the 2008 economic crisis. I was absolutely against a government bailout because I thought those businesses brought their problems on themselves. But when this problem rains down out of the sky on all of us, and we've got so many wonderful people who are just so scared right now through absolutely no fault of their own, it seems to me that in a case like this, this is where our government has to say, well, we're going to make sure you're not going to lose your homes. We're going to make sure that you're going to be taken care of. I mean, this to me is such a unique set of circumstances, John.
No, Dory, I totally agree with you. I mean, you know, I've told my team, lift up every rock, look at every nook and cranny. Let's see if there's anything we can do. We've got a call tomorrow, actually, with the State Department of Revenue to ask, you know, what ideas, if any, do you have? We're going to share some of them that we're starting to work on. But I agree that this is different. It's different both in that it is so widespread and so sudden, and it's affecting a whole range of people, both homeowners and man, I really feel for small businesses and homeowners that were just making it, and this has been just enough to tip them over. And certainly if they've lost their job or they've had their hours cut, we've got to do something as a community to step up and say, we're all in this together and we're going to get us all through this.
And I know that this would not be your call as King County Assessor, but I've also wondered if the private sector, you know, if we're looking at, you know, huge haircut in our economic, you know, not growth, but our economic losses. I wonder if government needs to share in that at some point and say, look, we're not going to justify the tax revenues we've been taking in because we understand the people just can't provide them to the extent that we've budgeted. And I'm wondering if at some point we're going to have some leaders say, we got to make some real tough cuts at the government level. That way we can give you, the taxpayers, some relief. And as I said, I know that that's not your call, but that is something I'm sure wondering.
No, I look, I hear you, Dorian. And, you know, I know from some initial conversations we've had within King County, that's something that we've been talking to the executive and the executive budget office about is what makes sense. Are there some things that we can defer or that there's some things that we have to do? You know, there are things also, for example, like the present senior exemption program that was significantly expanded to that. We should be reaching out aggressively to people, and that's what we're trying to do in this new world is how do you reach out to seniors to say, look, if you're 62, own your house and have a household income of less than 58,4 a year, please contact us and let us get enrolled so we can give you some immediate property tax relief.
Wait a second. I'm only 4 years away from the senior exemption program now?
Oh, you're not that old, Dory.
John, you first met me when I was a 21-year-old child, and now I'm only 4 years away from the senior exemption program? How could this have happened?
But I'll bet income-wise you might be a little over that threshold, so...
Okay, I'm not going to complain then. All right, John, it's good talk. Let's stay in touch. Since you're telling me these plans are evolving, I would love to talk to you sometime in the next week or two if they start to take form.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that, Dory. I mean, you know, I appreciate your understanding. I mean, this is something literally that's changing on us daily. And, I so agree with you that we've got to be mindful of everyday folks and the mom and pop businesses that have been a backbone of this community and not let them sink.
Yep, needs to be the premium thing that is considered. John, good talk with you. Appreciate you coming on with me today.
Take care, Dory.
All right, King County Assessor John Wilson joining us. John was a reporter and then a manager at King 5. when I was a 21-year-old intern there. Now we're both still kicking around as a couple of old chunks of coal. Oh, my goodness. Okay, lots more to come straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. So I hope you're surrounded by people you love. I was talking to my wife, and as I've told you, two of my daughters, my son-in-law, daughter and son-in-law are in a little apartment we have in our basement, and one of our daughters came home to hang with us during the stay-at-home mandate. Another daughter's gutting it out with her roommates, but I got so sad yesterday thinking about the people who are gutting this out and are alone. And if you're in that situation and you're listening to us right now, you're not alone. You know, we're here, and I know we can't answer when you yell at the radio at me, but I hear you. But I hope you're getting through this in as well and as positive a way as possible. This is so bizarre. So bizarre. But here's why we're doing this. Up in Mount Vernon, Skagit County, they have a Skagit Valley Chorale. And I admire people who are part of a choir. They look like they are having so much fun, and they're just always, they always seem like they just have, you know, mutual love for the music and for each other. And on March 6th, the conductor of the Skagit Valley Chorale, he emailed all 121 members and said, amidst the stress and strain of concerns about the virus, they still would have choir practice as scheduled at Mount Vernon Presbyterian Church. And he said, I'm planning on being there this Tuesday, March 10th, hoping many of you will be as well. Well, about half, 60 of the 121 showed up for that choir practice. And they said that they thought they were doing the social distancing things. Choirs are usually huggy kinds of people, but they didn't do that. But they probably weren't 6 feet apart and maintaining proper social distancing. So they were there for 2.5 hours for this choir practice, 60 members. Here we are about 3 weeks later. 45 of those 60 have tested positive for COVID-19. They've either been diagnosed or they're ill with the symptoms. At least three have been hospitalized, and two of those choir members have died from COVID-19. And the county health officials, they say that it obviously was transmitted through the air from one or more people, and they all said nobody appeared sick that night. Nobody was coughing or sneezing or showed any signs of sickness. They tried to avoid direct physical contact. Some members helped set up and remove folding chairs. Someone had put some oranges on the table in the back. But 45 of the 60 appear to be sick with COVID-19. Three hospitalized, two dead. And that's why it's so important that we do this until we get ahead of this silent killer. Best 15 is coming up next.